This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
We are doing great. Welcome to another episode of Christ Life Classic. I believe that we have been blessed from our last episode and that we have taken time to listen again and again, and also to do a lot of prayer. You know, I believe that this episode, the Lord will help us again for to stir ourselves up in the name of Jesus. Last time, I think one of the things that was profound, which we saw, was the need for us as any serious believer for to progress in the place of our eyes being enlightened. Before we can talk about the faith that our Lord Jesus uttered, you know, what brings that to us is eyes that are enlightened. And Kenneth Hagin admonished, which he himself did, of years he spent praying the Pauline prayers, you know, because it's obvious that that Pauline's prayer for any serious believer, any serious Christian, you will know that there's more to God than what you think you know. Those prayers are deep. Those Paul's prayer, they involve a lot of unfolding. It was obvious that Apostle Paul knew what a lot of, you know, believers and apostles of his time did not know. And God expects us to come into this knowledge. You know, we had said that there was a faith our Lord Jesus Christ used in the days of his flesh. And it was that faith that made him what he became. It was a faith that made him, you know, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. He despised the shame. And he was set down at the right hand of the throne of God. It was a faith that lived. The just shall live by faith. And we said that one thing we must know, that the only person through which we can come to salvation is through the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, we had also said clearly that it's good we admit that salvation is progressive. There's a level of salvation that happened by redemption in our spirit. You know, we saw that in Romans 5:10, you know, he said, for when we are enemies, we are reconciled to God by the death of his son. So he died and there was a reconciliation. But there's a much more, meaning that there's another level of reconciliation that we must come into, and we shall be saved by his life. So, you know, so reconciliation, until we are saved by his life, we have not been totally reconciled to God. And it's good that a believer knows this, because lack of knowledge of this will make a believer, you know, have you seen a car that refuses to go, to move? You just bringing out smoke. There's nothing, no progress made, you know? So faith is not only a potential life. Faith is a kinetic life of God. It's a life that is moving. It's a life that wants us to move, not to make us stationary only in the things that are in the authority in his name, but also for us to become. Is a faith that our Lord Jesus lived. And God wants us to. We said also that it's also a faith that God expects everyone that believe. The faith of our Lord is to everyone that believe. To everyone that believe. Is a faith that is expected to come to everyone, that we expected to use it. So Jesus did not become all of those and was set, arranged. He custodied that so that we can become as he became. Jesus is our audacity of hope. Is it him that we have hope? That our Lord Jesus became flesh. You know, he became flesh. He was fully man. He grew. He cried. Jesus cried. Jesus used diapers, if there was nappies. You know, they carried him to run away from King Herod. You know, so he was a baby in every measure. He could be corrected by his parents. You know, he could be a carpenter. You know, there were no angels that were supplying him. If he did not do carpentry work, his family would not have eaten. You know, so he did all of that. He grew, you know, and you know that why I say it's an audacity of hope is that we can grow like our Lord Jesus. And in the days of his flesh, he grew, came to a point where he was crucified, He died. He went to hell. He resurrected. He ascended. And he set. You know, and God wants us to come to that place because the hope is for us to end up in the throne. Ephesians 1 again, he said that, you know, when he began to pray, you know, that the heights of your understanding must be what? Enlightenment. We say enlightenment is when light comes to your understanding. When you begin to see, when you begin to want to do things the way, you know, the author of your faith is doing it. It is not enough for me and you to be a believer. And we want to do our life the way we seem fit. And the world is preaching that. That's the gospel that a lot of believers are living by. You know, the gospel of, as I deem fit, is my truth, is my, you know, my. That's why I say the faith we have been called to is the faith of another. There's one that authored it. So if we are going to end up like that another, we need to live as he lived. Our eyes must be open to see. These are the things why we need to see. We need to see the riches. This, all these things, they are hope, the hope of his calling. We need to see the riches, or, you know, of his inheritance in the saints. When God looks at my life, there's an inheritance God wants for my life. And that inheritance is not, oh, kole mole, you know, I have more houses. No. There's a greatness of his power. When God can say the power, his power is at work in my life. It's not that the power of God at work. I might not be blind physically. I might not be lame in my legs. I might not have dropped my physical body for me to say power. Power is the ability when I can turn to God. When I can turn to God. When I can begin to want what he wants. So when God is bringing mighty power. So you see, this thing just makes us know that there are different measures of power with God. Agbara is a mighty power. But also in that which is, you know, mighty power. You know, that which he wrought. So that power, he wrought it in Christ. Raised him from the dead. Can you see? And set him. Are you seeing this set again? This set again. This set, they means arranged him. So when we are talking of power, until you are raised from the dead, power has not started working on you. And excuse me, you and I, it's not all of us that we die in the sleep of death to say, power rose that man like Lazarus. But he says, set him at his right hand in the heavenly what? So there was a place they set him, you know, far above. So you can see that where our Lord Jesus Christ came to was not where there were principalities and power. These are kingdoms and dominions in heaven. These are names. It's those of us that have been using them. He said, what is setting above? He said, and guess what? Excuse me, it was not even the present. So where our Lord Jesus ended up was not this heaven that believers, you know, always think that is the goal. He said that which is to come. No, so he's not only in this heaven, but that which is to come. Are you understanding what where our Lord Jesus ended? He didn't end in Jesus and then assisted and he set. He was set there because all those other kingdoms in the heavenly strata must see. He was also set in that which is what? To come. So when they say that he has put everything under his feet, excuse me, it's not that which is passing away. What is under his feet is that which even that is to come. God wants me and you to journey. You see, when eyes are open to us, then we can begin to see. Because you see that faith, you know, we say faith is life. Acts 26:18, he says to open their eyes. This is Paul when he was making his testament before Festus. You know, when the commission that Paul was giving. You see why that Pauline prayer is not ordinary. There was a commission that the epistles of Paul custodied. Paul custodied the dispensation of the gospel. He custodied it and he knew it. He called it my gospel. He called it my gospel. It was a gospel our Lord Jesus gave to him. He said, I custodied not with flesh and blood in Galatians. You know, he said to reveal his son in me. Paul, he did not interact with our Lord Jesus. He was not a follower of Jesus in the days of his flesh. Even though he was there. He said that in my preaching, there was a revelation of the Son that Paul had. Even without seeing Jesus physically. There was a revelation of the Son that Paul had. The other disciples that became apostles must have been limited by the fact that they related with Jesus. They could be a witness to Jesus. They saw Jesus. They were discipled with Jesus. And really, they cannot be another like them. They are the foundational apostles of our Lord Jesus. But there was another dispensation. It is not enough for you to say you saw vision of Jesus. If you have seen vision of Jesus, but you have not seen his life, my brother and sister, you are limited. Because God's people, Jesus is not the 5 or almost 6 foot man of Galilee that walked. There was a life, there was what he became. A lot of believers glory in seeing visions of Jesus. That if you have seen the visions of Jesus, I have not seen his revelation. Because we walk by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. when Jesus resurrected and appeared to disciples, he said, blessed are they that do not see. When he was talking to Thomas, when Thomas said, unless I put my hand in the hole of his hand, in fact, that hole, I'm sure you know, because the body of Jesus was, there was a resurrection that come to it. I know they deliberately put that hole. That hole may have been healed. They deliberately put it because of brother Thomas and others, so they can believe.
Yes.
They put it so that you, because if they did not put that hole, it cannot be Jesus. They put it there. And that's why you know that the nail that they nailed Jesus with is not for his hand to have gone through. Just to show you a bit of his suffering.
Yeah.
It's not pin, no.
Yeah.
It's not carpenter's nail.
Yeah.
The nail that will be able to enter through somebody's hand and leg, and a hand will go through.
Mm-hmm.
Say, if I can put my hand, thrust it into the hole, it's big. So the trauma and the pain of the cross, only Jesus can go through it. And that one is on a period. John 20, 29 to 31, he said, Jesus said unto Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. You know what Jesus came? Jesus came to nullify believing that is tied to seeing. Because there was another faith he uttered. He said, but blessed are they that have not seen, that did what? Believed. So, my brothers and sisters, me and you, we know that we did not see Jesus in the days of flesh. We are blessed because we believed in Jesus. So, believers that can believe in him, we did not see Jesus, but we believed. There's a blessing you have. So, he said, to open their eyes. So, there was a dispensation that was committed to Paul, who did not see Jesus. That's why the ministry of revelation, we must exalt it. And that ministry, the Lord put it in his apostles. And that's why, my brothers and sisters, apostolic is not only about signs and wonders. True apostles must be able to open your eyes and to turn you.
Yes.
You must be able to turn to God. When you encounter an apostle, one of the things you will see is eyes opened,
yeah.
Ability to turn. You will see the Lord better.
Yeah.
You will see the Lord better. You will find deliverance from power. He said, so when Acts, we say, but rise up. This was the commission of our Lord Jesus Christ to Paul. You know, let me tell you, even when they were going to get Paul, they first of all blinded him with a light.
Yes.
Isn't that light? He said, the light that was brighter than the noon day, that light fell Paul to the ground. Waka! He said, that's what happens when our eyes is open. He brings all our other lights and vision to the ground. Paul was very correct. Righteous man. Pharisee of the Pharisees. Trained under Gamaliel. You don't know, Paul had a level, he had a darkness which he thought it was light. Collect letters. He was sitting. So Paul was invertedly righteous. With a light, he had confidence in the flesh, circumcised on the eighth day. Some of us, this is our CV. Circumcised on the eighth day, stock of the Israelite, tribe of the Benjamin, an Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. You don't know, a Pharisee obeys every law. Concerning is he persecute. See, is he? His testament of this is that he can persecute the church. Touching righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. You know that when you read the law of that is in Israeli law, there's some law that be like, how is this possible? Paul said he do one. So you see, Paul was to a large measure, he had life. But he had darkness in his soul.
Yeah.
And that darkness was causing him to do things that he thought was correct.
Yeah.
That's how many of us believers are. We do things that we think is correct.
Yes.
Our ways, our things. The way we judge things. The way we see things. You know? The way we think. Our mindsets. The way our mind is set. Many of us, we are arranged. When light hit Paul, his own testimony said, I was a blasphemer. Persecutor, injurious, but I'm obtained mercy because what I did, ignorance, where? Unbelief. So, unbelief. Paul, when light hit him, he began to judge us. And you know, many of us say, I'm a good Christian. When light hits you, we know that you are evil. When some thought hits you, we say, why are you thinking like this?
Yes.
It's because we don't have light.
Yes.
That's why we think we are good. Say, good master. Even Jesus said, no man is good except the Father. The things we think we are, that's understanding. Just hit you. Just say, why was I doing this? I mean, it has happened to me. I can tell you, I've had a lot of times when I will look at myself. I'll be like, when I have understanding, when the Holy Ghost breathes upon me and exalts his standard, I will just like, this was what I've been doing. I'm wicked though. So, Acts 26, 18, it says, and to open their eyes and to turn them from what? Darkness to light. Are you saying open eyes? And turning, and what? From the power of Satan unto who? God. Those are the accordings, the accords of Ephesians 2. You know? That they might receive what? forgiveness of sins, and what? Inheritance among them which are what? Sanctified by what?
Faith.
That is what? This is Jesus speaking. That faith. There's a faith that is in Jesus. So you see, why we need eyes. If we don't see eyes, we cannot turn from darkness and from power. So you see, the turnings, all those the accords, is what Satan has worked in us. And there's a power that is using to work those things. So you use that power to pull the darkness in us. The reason why me and you, we are like puppets, sometimes dancing to some reactions. Why anger will just jump out of me? Is the darkness in me, which is anger. But there's a power that is pulling it like a puppetry. It is when I'm doing that, I can say I'm receiving what? Forgiveness of sins. You know what? And say I'm coming to an answer. That's why a new birth, you don't confess anything. What you confess is that you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You don't confess sin. It's not scriptural. Which sin do you want to confess? Is this a sin that you have not even seen? This, many people, they may say, forgive me, I have sinned. When you talk about sin, sin is not merely what a man does. In fact, what a man does is actually a symptom of something that is fundamentally wrong. So what are you confessing? Because once your eyes open, you will not really know what sin is. You will not know what it means to not to bring pleasure to God. Because one thing that sin constitutes is knowledge of good and evil. True sin has good and evil. It's good. The one who call it good, this is very good. But in it is death. There's one wage sin pays, is death. The wages of sin is what? Is death. So he said to open. So one thing, when eyes is open, one thing he causes us to do is to see God's standard. When you see God's standard, you will turn. He said that turning is called repentance. So that's why at new birth, we don't repent. We confess and we believe.
Yes, ma'am.
You can't repent what you have not, what has not been exalted to you.
Yes.
You cannot turn. You see that thing of turning? Eyes, you must see. Because first thing, when eyes is open, when you see that Ephesians 1, one of the things I know that happened to some of us, we repented because the only hope we have seen is the hope of a good life in this earth.
Yes.
You know when you now see that there's an hope, there's an riches of inheritance in the saints towards them that believe, you will repent that God forgive me. That how I've ever looked at my life, and the only thing I will term as good is that I will marry, or I will have a profession, or I become a counter general. You know that thing, you need to repent. You need to repent. Because that's why eyes, that we call for repentance. Because you know what, you are just limited. You have even thought that God will waste the investment of the Godhead on a soul that is passing away. Some of us must repent of the things we have kept in our souls, the way we have judged our souls. So when it comes to the issue of repentance, eyes will be open for us to repent. When he says, Acts 3, when the man at the beautiful gate was raised through faith in his name and all that, and Peter, you know, it was in the temple. Because the issue of repentance, you know, it is to believers.
Mm-hmm.
It's believers that repent. Though.
Mm-hmm.
A dead man cannot repent.
Mm-hmm.
A dead man needs to be quickened. You need to wake a dead man up so that he can, you know, he can begin to think about his ways. Say, you know, a dead man is dead. He cannot help himself. One way without strength. You don't understand? We don't even have strength to live. Talk less of repent. Said, and Christ died for the what? Ungodly, without any strength. But so repentance, it comes when eyes are open. It's believers that need to repent. So Peter was speaking to the Jews because he called them men of Israel. Because, and where did they meet? They met in Solomon's pouch. So these are people that had the covenant. And that's why the gospel to them is repentance. The gospel to them is not just confess, they believe in the Messiah.
Yeah.
They believe in the promise. They had the promise of the patriarch in their flesh. So when he said men of Israel, when he was talking, he said, repent ye therefore. We preach to believers is to repent. And excuse me, the day you stop repenting, the day you start dying.
Yes.
Me and you, we will do repentance until we sit on the throne. We keep repenting. We keep repenting. What is repentance? To turn. He said, repent ye therefore. And be what? Because until me and you repent, there's no conversion. That your sins may be what? Blotted out. So the issue of sin can only come when eyes is open, when repentance has been done. What the Father loved, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whether I believed in him. God will not hold a dead man accountable for sins. How will they hold me and you accountable for sins that we did not sin? It was our father Adam that this whole thing journey to us. We were dead in sin. Satan beat man down. But we came to a place where when you are quickened, then your eyes are beginning to open. Why must you repent? Because yes, we can say it started with our father Abraham, but we are beginning to live his life, which is very foreign to God. He said, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be what? Blotted out. When the times of refreshment shall come from the presence of the Lord, and you shall send Christ, which before was preached unto you, and that heaven was received unto the times of restitution of all things. You see restitution again. Which God has spoken by his mouth of all of his holy prophets since the world began. You can see that restitution is in measures. There's a restitution of all things. And there's where our Lord Jesus, when they say they will send Jesus Christ, who are they sending? He will send his life. They're not sending the Messiah to us again. They will send his life. We will come to the measure of his life. That refresh, you say times,
time.
Not time.
Yeah.
Not time, times, that is, times, different times of refreshment shall come upon from the presence of the Lord to us. You know, when you say you are repenting, you are turning from definitions of a life that you have known to a life that is revealed. Repentance is when I'm turning from what? The definition of a life that I have known to that one that will be revealed. Because me and you, let me tell you, you see, the concept of repentance brings a context of choice. When he says choose today, life. When you choose life, you are repenting. When you choose death, you want to stay in death. He said choose today. Say choose today. Because eyes will give you standards and then heart will come to repentance. This thing we're saying, a soul that is repenting is a soul that has a sign of life. And you know what repentance makes you know is that you have will. You know, you can choose to repent of something or choose not to. It's a choice. And you see, forget all this repentance that we do, because a lot of Christians, they do crocodile repentance. You know, they will cry, shedding tears without turning. When you say you have repented, you turn and you begin to do. Amen.
Amen.
You turn and you begin to what?
Do.
It's not enough to cry, because I have a lot of, I did this, I did. You keep doing it every day. You have not repented, my brother. Repentance is not only the smiting. It's not only the smiting. In Acts chapter 2, after Peter addressed them and the Bible says they were smiting, say, the next thing say, how, what shall we do? 2 Corinthians 7, 9 to 11. Just to show us when a soul says he has repented. This was Paul. He was talking to the church in Corinthians. And he brought a lot of standard. Paul was cataloging their repentance. He says, now I rejoice. Not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrow to what?
Repentance.
For you were made sorry after a godly what? Manner. That you might receive damage by us in nothing. Many believers, they sorrow. But their sorrow does not lead to repentance. You know, there are believers who will say they are repenting before God. And yet, they are before a video. And they are crying. Have you not seen that folly? You are spending time to repent, to seek the face of God. Then you set up a camera and a video to capture how you are crying. And you're repenting. And post it online. Is that repentance? Who are you? You understand? You say, for godly sorrow. Now, look at it. When you have godly sorrow, because when judgment, when a standard is exalted, one of the things it produces is godly sorrow. And godly sorrow is not depression. Godly sorrow is not condemnation. Satan, what Satan brings is condemnation. When a believer does something wrong, and then he feels condemned, and he just feels, you see, how you will know when Satan begins to bring that atmosphere of sorrow around you? You don't see a way out. If the only way out is you see is destruction, kill yourself, do this, you know that it's condemnation, it's an evil spirit. What godly sorrow causes your heart to do is to turn. It's a godly sorrow worketh out repentance towards salvation. You see this salvation? You see this salvation again, my brothers and my sisters? And some people say, I have salvation, and you don't need to repent of anything. It's believers carry and parrot things that is my spirit is born again, is my body that is doing evil. My dear, my brother and my sister, you are joking with hellfire. He says to salvation. That's why I say we keep repenting to salvation until we come to a place where we are not repenting of anything. Until we come to salvation, no? To salvation. You can say that there's a progressive salvation and there's a salvation in scripture. Say, but of the sorrow of the world that worketh what? Death. So what the sorrow of Satan will work is death. For behold, this self-same thing that you sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you. One thing you will know when you repent is that you become more careful. He wrote in you, yea, what clearing of yourself? Yea, what indignation? That is, you'll be angry. When did I fall into this? Yea, what fear? There's a fear you have. I don't want to be in that same state. You don't understand? So, you know, if you have ever repented of something, you don't want to have that same feeling of separation from God. That same feeling. I don't know if there's anything God has, you have repented of. You don't want to go back there again. You don't want to go. You knew what you went through.
Yeah.
You knew what you went through. He said, so you have fear. He said, you are bold as a lion. When a man who has repented, he's not as bold as a lion when it comes to sin. If a madman has beaten your mother before, when you see a mechanic, you will run. So, yes. So you will not say I'm just going to the party. I will not drink anything. I don't talk to anybody. You are not repented. When you repent, fear. You will fear. You won't say I can manage it. Some people, God has delivered them from addictions. You will see a movie that I will forward it. Somebody who has repented. If you hear mu, before they say V. What he law? You say that it's because he's not bold. I tell you, through repentance, you have boundaries. On your own, you will know that these are my boundaries. In fact, now you go through him. Through the Holy Ghost, I know. Thank you. You will know that there are some places you don't go to. There are some things you don't do. It's a one very main desire. Because repentance will not only make you fear, make you have indignation. Because if you have ever repented of something, you'll be angry at yourself. If sister who was doing nonsense and having boyfriend and girlfriend, when he repents, when she, you know that this thing ought not to be, and then she begins to go, when she sees that guy, what did I see in this person? She will even be angry at herself. What did I see? He said, what indignation? What vehement desire? There's a desire to please God. What zeal? Not only desire. Are you saying, there's a zeal to do? I just want to do God. What's revenge? Also, you want to do vengeance. You want to share. How is your vengeance? My brother, my sister. Don't go there. And what it brings you that you come to approval. That approval is called justification. You come to approval and justification on a matter. You clear yourself in this matter. There are different matters that need repentance in our life. That's why repentance is not one off. The process of repentance, this 2 Corinthians captures when a believer says, I've repented. Repentance must always work out something. And his own true salvation. So most time, what we do is we crack crocodile tears. And I did this again. You keep doing it again, and you have not turned. When you repent and turn, you know one folly we have is that you think repentance will be administered to you like an anointing. No, repentance will work. It will work something in you. That working has to do with your will, because one thing it will supply is a level of grace. That you will come through this process. Because one thing that faith, the faith of our Lord Jesus reveals is righteousness. Because what will bring you to repentance is that you will see that righteousness. What is righteousness? Right standing with God. Standard, the correct way of living. It raises standards. And it gives us wisdom so that we can become it. Because it's what our Lord Jesus custodied in that is for Jesus Christ. See, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Righteousness. Because what eyes causes us to see is God's righteous standards on this matter. It will cause the heart. Your eyes is open to see it. Your heart will turn so that conversion will begin to happen. And conversion can only happen when I begin to do righteousness, which is life. You say, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it's the power of God unto what? Salvation. That is the power of God. We say unto what is taking you towards a destination. That destination you call salvation. To everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to what? The Greek. He said, for daring. So, what gospel custodes? He said, what it reveals is what? Righteousness of God is revealed. So, there's a righteousness of God in the measure of faith. So, what the gospel we custode, the righteousness of what will come in different measure of faith. There's a righteousness that comes by faith. Philippians 3:9. It says that, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law. So, my own righteousness is of the law. So anytime I do things, it's of the law. My own way, my own pattern of thinking, my own response to this situation is of the law. But what?
But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God, by what? Faith. One of the things faith pushes out is for me to see God's righteousness, God's thought on a matter, how God will handle his own matter, so that I can live the way God will what? Handle a matter. There's a way God will handle a matter. There's a way that matter, and he now says, the just shall live by faith in that Romans 1. So it means that I can live by faith. Because if I don't live by faith, what righteousness was put in me and you is life. It must put life in my soul.
Yes.
When I'm exercising myself in faith, I'm exercising life. Faith is a training. You see that training of to see the revealed, you know, and to, you know, begin to want to live by it is actually an exercise of life. The faith that is in our Lord Jesus, faith of the Son, is a world of living. It's a world that God uses it to train me to live. I live so much that righteousness becomes what? A life. You know that, you see that life? You know, we say that it is by the life in Christ that we are saved. Salvation is by his life. They don't dash people. You must exercise yourself in that life to be able to custode that life. And how do I custode that life? When I can see God's standard. When I do it, it becomes my life. Then I can say I'm coming to life. And we must do a lot of righteousness to the extent that I will be converted. You see that thorn? That they can be converted. I must do life. Because where righteousness will eventually take us to is where holiness. When I say I'm doing faith that Jesus uttered, it's because I have a desire to be holy. So you can't claim holiness. You might claim that holiness and separation because the content that makes your spirit is separated, Abby. But when it comes to the one in your soul, you yourself, you know, say holy. Say, lift up holy hands. Many hands are not holy. When there's no highest giving, there's no turning and repentance, and there's no doing of that which is revealed. And you know, you don't come to holiness like that. You must have done a lot of life. He said, being made free from sin. It's another topic on his own. You know, yet became the servant of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, of the infirmity of your flesh, but as you have yielded your members to uncleanness, to iniquity, unto iniquity. Even so now, yield your members, servant to righteousness, unto what? We are still going to look at this scripture again. You must know that as a believer, you can be a believer and you're yielding yourself to unrighteousness. What is unrighteousness? Your way. The way you do your own thing. The way you live your own life. Your way. Your living of your life. The way you come to a place where you think life is by your definition. Isaiah 55, 7, 2, he said, let the wicked forsake his way. And your righteous man, what? So where is unrighteousness? In our thoughts. Unrighteousness is in our thoughts. What motivates a young lady towards the marriage institution is because she wants to be Mrs. Or she wants to be, she wants to name her children. You know, there are a lot of beautiful names now. They will name children. She wants to be a mother or something. My brother and sister is a good dream, but somewhere there is an unrighteousness. Because the reason for the marriage institution has to do with God's dream for man. And that is how we must see it. There are a lot of ways we are unrighteous. I'm just trying to say, righteousness is our own way, our standard. Because one thing righteousness was taught to us is to see the way, you know, we said it's the faith of Jesus, the life of Jesus, is to see the way that Jesus lived his life and became what he became.
Yes.
So when we are not able to see it, when what informs my desire for money, desire for things, is still mine. Amen? Just like that rich fool. Say, you know, my soul, when what consists of your life is in the abundance of what you possess. What you possess. The world is teaching us to have possession. Either possession in things, in places, possession. He makes us think that is the definition of life. Jesus said it. You know that rich fool? He said, this I will do. I will burn down my barns and build greater. There will I bestow all my fruit and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, that has much goods laid up for many what? Years. Take thine eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, doubtful. This night, thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Jesus now say, so is it that lay out pressure for himself that is not rich towards what? You can only be rich towards God when you begin to do the things of God, the standards of God. That's when you say you are going towards a way. You have scripture that says, the abundance of a man's life. He now said, don't take heed, beware of what? Covetousness. For a man's life consisted not abundance of the things which he possess. So what it means is that actually a man's life is consistent of the things he has not yet possessed. When your life is about what you have or what you have achieved, you are to be pitiable. If Jesus is talking, believe Jesus. You know, I always tell people, buy Bible that Jesus' words are in red, so that it can be read in your mind. If Jesus tells us to take heed, that what is pushing many of us is covetousness. You just want to convert. You see, that covetousness is not even about people's things. You want to convert this world. You are converting the things of Satan. The things you possess. And I'm challenging us, what have you possessed that has made you think that that is life? What is God's righteous standard on matters of relationship, marriage, family life, on my work or my business? And what is the standard of God? That is what my eyes must be open to do. Many of us will go to workplaces. What we eventually do is before we know it, we have joined all the divisions there because you want to prosper your career. You have joined segregation. You break every law of life. You break every law of God. You bring down every standard of God. You become the talkative of the place. You break everything, dishonesty, everything, just because of what you want to possess. You want gain. Believers pull down another believer just because they want gain. What about the standard of God? Must be exalted. If we want the life that Jesus custod, that standard must be exalted. Nothing in this world. I was sharing in recent time what career, then growing up as a leader in my industry. And I remember that there was someone that I trained, then there was no structured training, and I just took that up because I like to do that. And there was somebody that came, I trained the person, I taught the person, and then, you know, just doing my work and just before the Lord, as unto the Lord. And then an opening of leadership came in. It was given to that colleague. There was no business reason. There was no growth reason. Reason being age. And I remember that day when that email came out. And as I got down to start going home, the message came out. About living, and you know, there was a way my heart was just like you know, rumbling and all. As I stood there waiting for my transport, I heard clearly the Holy Ghost. He said, this person is your sister. You need to exalt the law of brotherhood. Mamu, you know, that was a standard. Secondly, this person is a widow. Two things I will never forget. That experience, I will never forget it. And immediately I just began to repent. And I held that. You understand? That was a standard. That was a standard the Lord opened. The Lord just opened that standard. Showed me mercy to see that standard. And immediately I repented. And I began to conduct myself under her. Her being my boss. No attitude, nothing. Loving her, praying for her, supporting her. Doing many things and, you know, not seeking to take any glory. Not parroting or saying, you know, that was a standard I trusted to give. And, you know, I think one thing the Lord also in his mercy now showed. I think after a few months, a whole lot of things happened. That role, I came to that role. Wow. Now, the praise reports is not that God compensated me. Mm-mm. The report was that God was able to make me see. You see that standard? Honestly, in the business world, you have every right to raise a case. You have every right. Do you understand? But God raised a standard. That is the right standard. And when a soul aspires to do it, the soul will come into life. I'm praying that the Lord will give us eyes to see.
Amen.
To see God's righteous standards so that we begin to live. Because until we do righteousness, we cannot come to holiness. We cannot journey to come to everything that our Lord Jesus Christ came into. May God open our eyes again. And may God give us grace to begin to do, desire to do. May God begin to help us to repent. Many of us need to repent of many things. Repent of our ways, our thoughts, the way we think, the way we make decisions. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.